This is Wright Brennan with the Lost in the Midlands podcast, brought to you by C. Wright Roofing, and I am fired up today to be here with Kenny McEwen on the Excel team at LPT Realty, the leadership of the Excel team, the originator, former customer, entrepreneur, an awesome guy. Kenny, thanks for being on, man.
I appreciate the invite. I am super excited to be here with you, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's awesome always kind of running into you guys every few years. I mean, you were one of my first customers, and so it's just cool to kind of watch y'all's business grow as kind of my own journey has progressed, and really excited for you guys. Have a lot of awesome stuff going on. I know you got big news, new developments in business. I want to ask some questions about, you know, what's going on with that. But before we get to the new cool stuff, I want everybody to hear kind of your journey and your background. So tell us, where you're from.
Well, I'm from here originally, from Columbia, South Carolina, a little bit of an Army brat. So my dad was in the Army as a U.S. A sergeant, and for everybody out there,
appreciate the service.
Thank you for, you know, your service as well to everybody listening. So we moved around a little bit, even when I was a kid, you know, between Germany, Georgia, Texas, Kansas.
Wow.
And then settled back here, kind of telling my age a little bit, back in the late 80s, early 90s, elementary school, to make it even worse, until the age. But, you know, born here, basically raised here, and been loving it, you know, ever since. You know, obviously, you know, a part of the Richmond One school district system.
Nice.
Proud Game Cobb.
Rock and roll.
Name it, I'm Columbia bred.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Very cool. So what, so did you go to the game? Were you Gamecock USC?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's only one USC.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. So what was your first move after that? Like what kind of first job did you get at post college?
I did what a lot of kids did with all that education behind them and got a call center job.
Nice.
So, I worked at a call center for a very popular wireless company here. I don't know what can say and cannot be said here in the podcast, but a large wireless company that a lot of people kind of ran through.
Okay.
That boot ground, that boot camp experience of customer service and things like that.
Wow.
And then from there was, you know, voluntarily told to leave one day, I suppose, like that, with a nice brown box on my desk. He had some disagreements on attendance, I'll just say that much.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of went from there, kind of, you know, kind of going between smaller, you know, tent jobs, small jobs, until I finally settled into the idea of sales. So I actually got settled in with a bank here and was with a part of their sales, you know, team there. And then went to a process of selling yellow page advertising in the phone book, which a lot of people are probably not even knowing what a phone book is anymore.
Man, that is old school sales. That's hardcore sales. That's old school.
That is another boot camp that I don't, you know, advise a lot of people is up into. And then from there, you know, kind of got back into wireless, into management.
Yeah.
And then from there kind of took off. So from there, maybe 5 years after, you know, me starting with the next wireless company, I got was fortunate enough to get into government sales. So I was the government account manager for this particular company, got to meet with all and be the contact for all the state agencies.
Yeah.
The attorney general and I had plenty of conversations where I would go person to his office.
Wow.
So the governor was at the time was a customer as well. And then after that, I was recruited into the physical security industry, which is a unique industry. One where you're basically representing the manufacturer for these cameras that are peering down at you and watching your every move. So
Big Brother.
Yeah, it was Big Brother. And a lot of stuff that you think you heard that you're really questioning, is it true or not? I will plead whatever amendment on that I can, it was a cool issue to be in, learn, and then, you know, like I said, you know, kind of went as far as my last corporate job. I was in software sales, selling a software that was an intermediary software between law enforcement and telecom companies.
Really okay.
Cool, as far as, you know, subpoenas and things like that.
What year was that?
That was back in 2016-17.
Okay.
When I had the last corporate job.
And
we had the amazing transition again, where I was voluntarily asked to leave from that job. And that's what prompted the full-time career of us being in real estate, or myself at least being in real estate. The missus had been for a while.
Yeah. Okay. So that must have been a big decision. I mean, and a tough one. I mean, that's a big leap.
Yeah.
Leap of faith. Tell me about, you know, kind of your process of decision making there.
So, and for anybody that does not know, so Candace McEwen is my wife. She's the current association president here for us here in the
CCRA area, Central Carolina's Real Estate Association area. Super proud of her on that. But anyway, she was already in the process of thinking about starting a company. She had been in the industry full time for a while, had been wanting to see what that would look like as far as doing something full time. And, you know, at least starting something, not knowing what the scale would be. And the plan was for, you know, my job and for me to kind of be the quote unquote trust fund. I fund everything behind the scenes and be the man behind the curtain.
Not a bad gig.
Not a bad gig at all, right? But when the layoff happened things, you know, had to be, you know, decided.
Yeah.
She just kind of said, you know what? Well, this just means that we're meant to be doing this together. So let's go ahead and team up and let's create something. So that was in 2017, and we started what was then Excel Real Estate right here in Columbia.
Exciting time to get into the market right then, I think. That's probably pretty good time. The market was pretty good. I can't remember. I have no idea, actually.
It wasn't bad. It was, you know, kind of before everything happened with COVID. So
yeah.
It was kind of in what I would say was one of those coasting periods where things weren't really too bad or too good as far as buyers and sellers markets.
Right.
It was a good time to be in either situation, really. So
what was it like for you making the transition? I mean, was it a big, like, kind of culture change or?
It was tough. So you're talking to a guy that had basically, you know, I threw in everything to being a kind of a tech guy and also a sales guy corporately, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to be, my ambitions before that, I was always wanting to be the guy that you would see riding around, you know, either in the streets in town with a suit and saying, hey, what does he do for a living? Or the guy in the airport with the badge.
Yeah.
Well, what does he do? I wanted to be that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did a lot of that. I did so much travel, it was crazy. But going from that to basically going to a totally different industry.
Yeah.
Where sales are not, you have to really be prepared, you know, mentally for that kind of change. And it wasn't easy. I'm also, you know, a person that likes to self-teach themselves. I really didn't want any dependency from the missus as well. I want to learn this industry. I want to learn this role and, you know, I wanted to learn what it was going to be like to be an owner and everything else that, you know, is involved with it from a business side. So it wasn't easy, but I will say having the right partner makes a big difference too. So, you know, that made it very easy.
You guys have an impressive rap sheet. I mean, it really is awesome seeing what you guys have done. And sales is kind of sales in some degree. Before you're building relationships with people who, you know, need giant security systems and they, you know, and then you can take those same, I'm assuming you can take some of those same skills and just reapply them to, you know, people who need property. Is that, I mean, does a lot of it kind of filter over to the next industry?
It can translate. I think if you have any kind of sales experience, no matter what it is, or I'll say anything that involves the science of working with people, you can be a very good real estate agent. The thing about sales is that you have to really know how to, you know, essentially listen to your client's needs, go through and become, you know, establishing a partnership, a relationship. It's a relationship business. Those core things you pretty much learn in any kind of sales role.
Yeah.
It's just really taking that mindset of saying, hey, I'm not selling in this particular instance a product.
Right.
Or I'm not representing a company, but I'm rather representing myself.
Yeah.
I'm representing a service. I'm also representing my client. So that shift is very important. And a lot of times people can't do it because they may be so molded into that sales life or that role that they've prepared so long for that they're so used to. But the core aspects of things are there. So they should, you know, be able to at least lean on one or two of those things to try to attempt to make the transition.
Yeah.
As long as they treat it and they remember that it's a people business, then, you know, for that was the thing for me, just reminding myself, hey, you know what, this is the same mindset that I had just working with, let's say, a university or a sheriff's association or, you know, in some instances, a government entity. You know, how does that translate as far as the conversation and identifying their needs and into the end goal?
Yeah.
Now just with a house or land or a commercial building or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's impressive. You know, you took that and you put it into this and you guys have been so successful.
Well, thank you.
That is really cool. And I've seen you guys grow and all that stuff's great, but tell me a little bit about the challenges. I mean, you know, you hit the speed bumps. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I'll say that one of the biggest challenges for anybody that is thinking about doing this from the standpoint of, I'll break it down a couple of different ways.
Yeah.
Ownership, you have to really be prepared for the overwhelming good as well as the overwhelming bad. Growth for us was something that I'll say that we knew would happen, but I don't know if we were prepared for the level of it happening to an extent one time that it did. I remember having a conversation with, my wife at the kitchen table.
Yeah.
We were so back and forth upset because I told her I did not want to get past 20 to 25 agents.
Yeah.
That's overwhelming to me. That's going to be crazy insane. Before Excel Real Estate, was a partner with another company, we ended up with over 330 agents.
Good Lord.
3 states and 7 cities. So my idea of growth was out the window really, really early.
Yeah.
So preparing for that,
yeah.
Having that plan, having that business plan, having, maybe even a mentor or maybe some kind of guider to kind of walk you through what those steps could look like. And also maybe establish boundaries if you don't want to go too quick are very important as well, along with the things that are challenges, right? You really have to be prepared for the things of growth and how expenses work and how things work with relationships and even attrition. Candace and I, we are very, very deeply involved, even to this day, with so many people on a personal level. I think that makes us very unique. So you can't take things too personal when it comes to business. And vice versa for anybody that may be on the other side across the table from us.
Yeah.
You have to remember that at the end of the day, if you're in this industry of serving people, which is real estate, the end goal is to take care of that client.
Right.
And the end goal is to make sure that the transaction happens well and that is, what's accomplished. Nothing personal in between.
Yeah. Well, that speaks to y'all's strong leadership. I mean, that is a lot of people that you are working with. So I can imagine tons of relationship, conflicts is just going to happen in business, right?
It was interesting, man. It was definitely an experience that I could go ahead and just sit down with anybody and talk about and, hopefully, just provide some kind of insight too. But it was a little bit of a shock.
Cool. Very cool. Growing pains. Well, tell me a little bit about, before I ask you kind of, I know the big news, the big change, who are your clients now?
So I really don't have anything as far as any kind of filter. I don't serve a certain type of client provider. So, right now, residential is still, definitely deeply in my heart. I love the military community, retired and active duty.
Yeah.
I love serving them.
That's awesome.
Maybe something close to 90% of my business personally on the residential side of things is anybody that's active duty or retired. I help so many people that are either transferring, as they call it, PCSing in to Fort Jackson, Shaw, Force Base, McIntyre, things like that, get settled here into the Midlands. But I love assisting people with that. I've done a lot of land as well.
Cool.
And I'll say this about land. When it comes to land, if you're thinking about the aspects of purchasing land, you want to make sure that you're really working with somebody that understands those aspects of everything that is involved.
Yeah.
Because there are so many different levels and situations of land purchasing and ownership here in the state. And, you want somebody that, is comfortable with kind of flowing through and going through that process with you.
Right.
Outside of that, I've really been kicking it in with commercial. Commercial is something that's a very relatable product to me because of my corporate American experience. So I love it. A lot of people kind of look at it and say, oh, no, I don't know if I want to test that industry. I gravitate to it, man.
And eat it up.
I sift that. I think it's one of the needed services here in the area because you have a lot of ambitious entrepreneurs that want to go ahead and get into the aspect of owning commercial real estate as long as them being, a homeowner or, something to that extent. But they don't know exactly where to go and how to go, about starting that process with somebody that can have a comfortable conversation with them. I'm very proud to kind of, hopefully take a little lead on that.
This is Wright Brennan, the owner of C. Wright Roofing. When it comes to the maintenance of your roof, you want to know that you have an experienced team that knows what they're doing. And with 10 years in the business, we check all the boxes. Leaky roof, storm damage, or just overdue on maintenance, give us a call at 803-828-4181 for a free estimate. Again, that's 803-828-4181. And remember, our commitment is to roof it the right way.
Yeah, that's interesting. I can definitely relate. Like, sometimes I want a brick and mortar. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know if that's the right. So, I bet it's a good niche. I mean, I can definitely see how that's a great way to bring in good clients.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, like I said, it just provides, you know, another service level for, you know, for the community. Just right. having somebody that, you know, you can comfortably go to, you know, and just ask them, you know, just some very, you know, simple questions. But, you know, hey, you know, I don't know about the zoning aspects of this. And, you know, what does it look like as far as me being a landlord possibly? What can I can or cannot do in this building?
Yeah.
A lot of those questions, you know, people, you know, get a little nervous about approaching the right people about. And that's what I've been trying to do, is become more of that, you know, comfortable contact for them. So,
yeah, that makes sense. Awesome. Big news. What's the big news? Tell everybody.
Oh, man. So after, you know, much contemplation and, you know, much obviously thought and prayer that we both have, you know, together as a couple, Candace and I, we decided to start what is now the Excel team at LPT Realty.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much, man. We're excited. We're about maybe, gosh, are we a full, we're not even a full 2 days in, but we already have a good roster of agents that have decided to go ahead and join either with us for the first time, or I'll say come back and join with us, you know, on this new venture. It's humbling because, you know, I don't think Candace and I realize how much of a, I guess, an impact, which is kind of a weird word for me to say. It's humbling to know that people care and respect for us so much, you know, for what we've done for these past 2 years, actions like this. The support was tremendous. But as I always, you know, remind people, especially the past day or so, Excel Real Estate was actually built on the backs of this amazing roster of agents that we had between the three states and the seven cities. We were just basically there to kind of be a resource and asset as much as we could. But when it came to the, you know, the logo is the reputation. So when the logo was placed back out there in social media, a lot of people's eyes lit back up and said, oh, I remember that. I remember what that used to feel like. And that's a humbling experience. It's really, really cool. So that's where we are right now. We're super excited to serve the community in this capacity. We are a part of the leadership group here in town, and we're not just looking to start this and grow this from a local level. It's an opportunity to do some things nationally now, which is very, very exciting to us. So,
yeah, you guys are going to dominate. An inspiration to the rest of us entrepreneurs. So you guys are out there killing it. Fantastic. What changes have we seen in the industry over the past few years? Let's talk like the here and now. What's going on most recently?
Ooh, where do we start? I'll say what's really going on. You know, the biggest thing obviously is things with the interest rates and how people qualify, you know, for the loans and those different types of things. We actually had an opportunity here locally to have a panel of mortgage lenders do a podcast.
Cool.
You know, with our local association.
Yeah.
Lunch and Learn, I should say, excuse me. And they were talking about how, because of the industry now, there are actual differences where qualifications for loans seem to be a little bit more lenient as, you know, banks and lenders want to get more people approved in this age of higher than, I say, the last few years of interest rates. I don't want to say normal because actually the interest rates right now that we do have, a lot of people, if you take a look at the last maybe 10 years or so, this is relatively normal for the interest rate type that we've seen, let's say, go in the past 10 to 15 years. If you've seen things in the sixes and the fives, that's not unusual.
Yeah.
COVID did a lot of twos and threes that I don't know if I can commit to say we'll ever see that again. That was a very unique situation.
Yeah.
It took a pandemic. It took an epidemic. Do we want to go through that again for somebody to be able to afford a nice mortgage on a house going forward? I don't know if I'm going to do that. But that is something that I would say is kind of the thing right now is, you know, flexibility on the mortgage approval process that these guys were talking about yesterday. Also, you know, one big thing as well nationally that we're watching, especially here in South Carolina, is the impact on insurance when it comes to homeowners and prospective homeowners.
Yeah.
So the insurance situation, and I'll say this, I'll back up for a second. A couple of weeks ago, I had a tremendous opportunity to be a part of the National Association of Realtor Legislative Week meetings in Washington, D.C. So
fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of meetings and a lot of seminars and things like that.
But we had an opportunity to meet with a couple of our local congressmen here in South Carolina.
Okay.
And we were very, you know, very kind of pointed about the idea of insurance impacting us here because of what's happened in California and what's happened in Florida. Then obviously with Helene coming through as a hurricane last year and going through the western part of North Carolina, and a little bit here in South Carolina. So the insurance impacts are basically this. You have situations where you have homeowners that are under contract,
yeah,
that are now being asked to basically solidify more information, let's say, about the roof and the roof's age. And yeah, as you know,
I was wondering if this was going to come up.
It was kind of going that way.
So, okay.
And it's,
that makes sense now. It's all coming together. Go ahead.
Coming together. It's like, oh, now I see why this is happening.
Yeah.
And it's a thing where it's kind of coming out of the blue and it's impacting our state where it really wasn't as much of an impact as it was before.
Right.
Where,
yeah,
these appraisers and these adjusters taking more or paying, I'm not gonna say paying more attention, but they're getting a little bit more granular before, you know, the contracts and things. And now
before you even can get the insurance. Contract, okay. Yeah.
Like, you know, they even get the insurance because obviously that's a required part of your mortgage, you know,
right,
to be considered with your escrow. So now if there's a situation where the roof is not meeting whatever stipulation that they're looking for, you could have a conversation hypothetically about a roof repair that was not the case before.
Right. Okay.
And now after, you know, let's say you're under contract, we've seen situations with some of my peers in other parts of the state, they've been seeing situations where you're under contract, you have an adjuster or an appraiser from the insurance company going back out there and saying, oh, well, now after further review, we see that this roof is in this condition. We're going to have to raise your insurance based on this new visit.
Is that before it closes or
it's after
closing? After closing.
This, and that's
it. Oh, wow.
So you imagine, and this is where I was telling one of the congressmen here was, you imagine myself working with, you know, so many military. And
yeah,
like I said, I love serving them. I want them to be comfortable about the move, but also knowing exactly what to commit to as far as a budget, right? And you're basically planning for mortgage A, and then all of a sudden you're visited by these adjusters and these, you know, these contacts in the insurance companies. Now you're presented with option B because that's the way it has to be now. That's a tough thing for our service personnel. And that's where I get very, 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 you know, worried about things as far,
yeah,
as how it can impact. And like I said, it's not, you can't blame a state and you can't blame or area for these changes, but it is what it is as far as what happened with California and Florida. And, you know, I continue to just think about and pray for those folks there as far as how they're impacted and hope they recover. But at the end of the day, within in the business of insurance, that's what's happening. Now you're starting to see that creep up the East Coast. And it's not just a thing in, you know, South Carolina. North Carolina is impacted. Other states across the East Coast are impacted as well. Other places that are wildfire prone as far as now they've been located or, you know, I guess targeted now. That would, yeah, be a thing as well. So insurance is really, really kind of a thing that all of us want to take a look at and really kind of put a focus on. I'd recommend going ahead if you have any kind of contest with your local legislators, get in contact with them, let them know that you have, you know, quick questions and concerns about how that may impact, you know, your area.
Yeah.
Get in the ball with this because it's not going to be anything that rolls backwards. It's going to kind of be a rolling thing of momentum on the issue.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I see it on, like, after the claim is filed, the tightening of the belt.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it seems like coverage is much more difficult. I mean, it's always gotten a little more difficult each year, but in the past couple of years, it has really tightened up, no doubt.
It has. I mean, to the point to where personal, very transparent story. So between, you know, the missus and I, we had an insurance provider on our home coverage for a very long time.
Yeah.
About a month or so out of the blue, we received a letter. Hey, we're not servicing your entire state anymore as a company. Best of luck. Find a new insurance company. And we're not the first ones. And, you know, I don't think we'll be the last as these companies decide how they want to go ahead and provide coverage going forward. So we had to pivot, right?
That's wild.
The other part of it is just, yeah, hey, you know, who, you know, is going to be your contact and provider of choice here in the state.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you start to isolate those choices, what does that mean for us as far as pricing on insurance that we only have but so many providers that also service the state? There's a lot that goes into it. So.
Yeah. So you know, maybe to sum it up, it's going to get expensive. It's going to get expensive.
It's not just, you know, like I said, it's not just mortgage rates and interest rates. It's all of
the insurance.
Home ownership.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's interesting to hear that from your side. Yeah, I did wasn't expecting to hear that. Interesting. Tell me about some of the technology changes. Everybody wants to hear about how does AI impact every industry? How is it impacting y'all's industry?
I love it. I love it. I'm one of the few folks that's not scared of it. If you really think about it, we've been using AI to some extent in our everyday lives for years now.
Okay.
We did an amazing training for our realtors maybe a few months ago, and we were talking about the aspects of AI into the future, but we also talked about the past and things like using your navigation to be able to get to point A to point B. Well, that not only just the directions, but knowing when you'll get there, what the traffic looks like,
what
the ETA looks like. That's all AI, right?
You know,
having, you know, your device, you know, be able to transcribe, you know, a meeting if you're a student in school or a lecture or something like that. That's all AI. We've been using it forever. It's just going to go ahead and start to kind of be a little bit more maneuvered and tweaked the industry as we go along here. When it comes to real estate, the AI advantages for the client are going to be things that are going to basically help them as far as understanding their home values, and, you know, looking into the future as far as perspective, you know, decisions that they may want to make as far as either selling or if you're in the market to buy, what it looks like maybe buying in the future, you know, with the way values are calculated, the way that trends are actually done, the way that graphs are looking as far as the ups and downs of the market and the interest rates and things like that. It's exciting for us because it takes out, you know, a lot of the guesswork for us to be able to say to a respective client, hey, this is what we think is going to happen. No, this technology in a good way is kind of preparing this space one way or the other for what that decision will look like for them.
Yeah.
On the standpoint of the other cool things of AI, because I am definitely the guy that carries way more devices than what I need to on me on a daily basis. But when it comes to, you know, the service industry of a real estate agent, right? I love because I have sold so many different houses basically just using AI on my device by saying, hey, you know, if you have somebody coming in that they see an empty home, and they're wondering what it would look like with furniture. Oh, no problem. Let me throw out my iPad right now and let me go to an app and place a couch here in the middle of the living room and plant a picture or frame here on the wall or even a refrigerator. You know, it's not a Samsung, but it's a fridge.
Yeah.
You can see exactly what, you know, things look like. If you've been tracking things, you know, between, you know, these technology companies the past few years, that's what they've really been focusing on is development for AI and those different kind of use cases. On the real estate side of things, between that, I have a cool story where I assisted a client that was looking at a piece of land. And at the time, I owned not an Apple device, but an Android device that was able to go ahead and take a piece of land. I drew the worst stick figure house on the land that I could. And I presented five or six different options based on what the AI did with homes that were on the site, just to kind of give a visual to the guy.
That's cool.
On what something could look like. Those are things that, you know, I think the smart and the kind of the savvy real estate agent can do to assist their client a little bit more. You know, there's a lot of client, you know, not even say overthinking, but hey, there's this careful process. Let me say it like that. And if we can help, you know, kind of maneuver that, push that a little bit, then why not use AI? So AI, for anybody that's listening, is not a scary thing. It's not anything to be afraid of. Of course, we want to be, you know, kind of cognitive to make sure that it's used the right way.
Right.
But it's something that can be very, very beneficial for us going into the future. I will say I'll share one real quick story as far as caution. I think I shared this with you the other day. We did have a situation where there was somebody looking to buy land and they were only wanting to talk with us over Skype, which is not even a product that you can, you know, basically use anymore.
Right. Yeah.
The person used AI and I think they took the picture of some grandmother as you know, it very much resembled a Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
And essentially only the mouth of this person would move on the phone. And the accent was just like Mrs. Doubtfire, but you could tell it was I'll say that there was an accent to the voice, if it makes sense. And also the number was not a U.S. number. I'll just say that as well. But, you know, we asked a person on the phone, hey, can you do us a favor? Can you move your shoulder? And the pitcher could not move their shoulder.
Oh, man.
It was the worst attempt at the. So I say that because if you're, you know, somebody that's owning land or owning a house, you will also be approached by these individuals that know what kind of ways to use it and not good ways, you know, negative ways.
The bad guys get to use the technology too, is what it comes down to, unfortunately.
Be careful. But you know, you can also have a little fun with it too. I have to move the shoulders a little bit. See what happens.
That's right. Test them. Very cool. Yeah, that's hilarious. So good and bad. Sounds like a lot of good. Yeah. That's really exciting stuff. I'm glad you're on the positive end of the AI trends.
I'm optimistic about this.
I love it. I love it. Any final message to the viewers about the future of you guys, y'all's team?
We're excited about continuing to be an asset, you know, to this community. So I'll say this to the general community in general, talking on behalf of everybody in real estate. There's some amazing people out here in this industry.
Yeah,
I saw that in Washington, D.C., you know, over the past couple weeks or so. I got to see that in Boston where the national convention was, and seeing so many different people out there wanting to learn more about how to be better real estate agents and realtors.
Right.
And, you know, provide so many different solutions and, you know, be resources, you know, for their communities back at their homes. Here in town, I will selfishly say that you have some of the best of the best, probably not only in the state, but in the entire nation.
Heck yeah.
We are extremely proud to be in the actual industry that we're in, and we're just going to be looking to continue to do more, man. I think that the best is definitely yet to come. I'll say too that, you know, don't worry too much about, you know, what your thoughts are as far as, you know, the bad, as far as what the market may do and everything like that. I always get the question, Kenny, when is a good time to buy? When is a good time to sell? And I always say yesterday. Because, you know, I think about when my grandparents bought a house back in the 70s in Little Sumter County, and looking back at my grandfather's records and seeing him pay four digits for almost an acre of land and a 3-bedroom house.
Right.
Four digits.
Wow.
And now that same home is 6 digits plus well into it, you know, back now here in 2025. Real estate does nothing but appreciate.
Yep.
So if you're in the situation where you can have somebody assist you with either, you know, you buying a home for yourself and accomplishing a goal, or wanting to start a legacy, whatever that looks like,
you
know, starting a business, get into it now if you can. Tie yourself up with a good real estate agent, a good realtor, a good company. You know, have a great, you know, group of resources around you, such as, you know, great roofers and great contractors, right?
Here.
Make sure that you are basically getting to your goal. We are just here to help, and, you know, we're very humbled to be in a position to do so.
Fantastic. The time is now, is basically the time is now.
Do it now.
And there is an amazing team right here with us today. Absolutely. Man, thanks so much for coming on. You guys are killing it out there. So exciting to see what's to come, and we'll have to have you on again down the road. So thanks, man.
I look forward to it. Thank you again.
Fantastic.
Hey, everyone. Many thanks for watching. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a follow and click the bell to stay up to date on future episodes, or click the link to watch another previous episode. Also, don't forget to like, share, and please leave us a comment. We'd love to hear your feedback.